Well, we come to this day to celebrate the gift of God's sacrifice, Holy Communion, and we're still in the season of Christmastide. This is, since Christmas falls on a Sunday in this ecclesiastical year, there's only one Sunday in Christmastide. We're off to Epiphany by the time we get back here next week. I came in on Christmas Eve, and I noticed this nativity scene down here, and it was sort of like Santa Claus had shown up. I, to this day, don't know whose it is or who put it there, but I think it's marvelous, and certainly thank whoever did it. And you know, our friend Jim over here, who's not here today, but he had the last couple of years put his nativity scene over here, but he's kind of gotten to the point he couldn't get in the closet and dig all this stuff out. So somebody else has come to the rescue here, and thank you. It's sort of a tradition, you see, and I've been talking about the traditions of the holidays here. Some of the strangest things, you know, are changed and transformed at Christmas time. I can remember eighth grade, my math teacher at Friends School's name was Nash, Mr. Nash. I couldn't to this day tell you what his first name was. It was always Mr. Nash. And he was a guy who always wore a bow tie. So I guess in part I'll do this in his memory. But he certainly wasn't one of my favorite teachers. Eighth grade math wasn't one of my favorite things. What was it, geometry and trigonometry or something like that? I don't know. And math was never one of my strong suits until one day I didn't have to take it in school anymore and the whole thing was like a light bulb came on. I said, oh, geez, all this stuff is symbolic logic. Why didn't I think of that back when I had to take a test for it? But as it turns out, at Christmas time, you know, amidst all the equations and, you know, sines and arcs and cosines and all this kind of stuff, this guy would read us a little story. A story that was written by, Ogden Nash, the poet. I guess he did it because of a namesake. But he would read that, and a lot of people from other classes who had had him in years past would always flock in and fill the room up at Christmas time to listen to him read stories. See? And that's one of many things that, I can remember over the years that were sort of transforming things at the time of Christmas. People who were totally different did things that were, you know, really out of character and really kind of neat. And you got to know them a little bit better. You know, we come to the beginning of a new year as we come to this table, and I was asked to celebrate one of the traditions of this place. Hazel has this little story she shared with you many times in the past, I understand. And she asked, since she can't read it anymore, asked me to read it for her. And I said, yeah, I'd be glad to do it. And I was trying to figure out what's the time I can fit this in. It fits with the message of the thing. You know, and it's the story you all remember about the Christmas guests. And, it's one of those things that really is sort of opportune for the beginning of a new year. It's one of those traditional stories that speak to promise and possibility and opportunity that knocks in life. And, you know, the Bible is just filled with stories that all speak about opportunity, you know, and how things might have been different if the opportunity hadn't been answered in an affirmative way, you know. I mean, you can imagine what the world would be like if, you know, Abraham had heard a voice and it said, you know, Abe, you're going to be a father. And he says, no, I'm 90 years old, get out of my life, see? And that would have been the end of the story. Okay. Or if Moses had been standing there on Mount Horeb and the bush had gone up in the flames and he had thrown down his crozier and run down the mountainside and said, I got to get out of here, and that would have been the end of the story, see? Or if, you know, Jonah decided that he was going to go to Tarshish instead of Nineveh, and God said, no, you're eventually going to get to Nineveh, come hell or high water. And so you hear the story. You see, if all these things had been different and opportunity had knocked and people hadn't taken advantage of it, well, yeah. And there's a great story about in ancient Jewish times, in ancient history, you know, the fodder's sitting by, the fodder of the faith is sitting by the tent, and people walk by, and it turns out in the aftermath of the story that they were angels, you see. And that's pretty much what this is about. And you come to the Lord's table, and you get to celebrate new beginnings, which is kind of a wonderful thing. So this is really an ancient German story, and it's got language in it that somebody's gone through here and sort of cleaned up, but I'm going to read it in the original version, and if you want to know what some of these words mean, you can come up here and look at the annotated copy afterwards, okay? Because it's kind of interesting to notice that there are certain words in here now that are kind of, you know, negative slangs, but at the same time, when the language is a little bit more pure, people used more words and they were actually okay to use. It happened one day in the year's white end. Two neighbors called on an old-time friend, and they found his shop so meager and mean, made gay with thousand boughs of green. And Conrad was sitting with his face ashine when a sudden stop, and he stitched a twine and said, "Old friends, at dawn day, when the cock was crowing the night away, the Lord appeared in a dream to me and said, 'I'm coming, your guest to be. So I've been busy with my feet astir, strewing my shop with branches of fir. The table is spread, a kettle is shined, and over the rafters the holly is twined. And now I will wait for my Lord to appear and listen closely so that I will hear his step as he nears my humble place, and I open the door and look into his face.' So his friends went home and left Conrad alone, for this was the happiest day he had known. For long since his family had passed away, and Conrad had spent a sad Christmas day. But he knew when the Lord was his Christmas guest, this Christmas would be the dearest and best. And he listened with only joy in his heart, and with every sound he would rise to a start and look for the Lord to be standing there in answer to his earnest prayer. So he ran to the window after hearing a sound, but all he saw on the snow-covered ground was a shabby beggar with shoes which were torn, and all his clothes were ragged and worn. So Conrad was touched and went to the door, and he said, 'Your feet must be frozen and sore, and I have some shoes in my shop for you, and a coat that will keep you warm, too.' So with grateful heart the man went away. But as Conrad noticed the time of day, he wondered what made the dear Lord so late, and how much longer he'd have to wait. And when he heard a knock at the door, he ran. But it was only a stranger once more, a bent old crone with a shawl black, a bundle of faggots piled under her back. She asked for only a place to rest, but that was reserved for Conrad's great guest. But her voice seemed to plead, 'Don't send me away. Let me rest for a while on Christmas Day.' So Conrad brewed her a steaming cup and told her to sit at the table and sup. But after she'd left, he was filled with dismay, for he saw that the hours were passing away. And the Lord had not come as he had said he would, and Conrad felt sure he had misunderstood when out of the stillness he heard a cry, 'Please help me and tell me where am I?' So again he opened the friendly door and stood disappointed as twice before. It was only a child who had wandered away and was lost from her family on Christmas Day. Again Conrad's heart was heavy and sad, but he knew he should make this child glad. So he called her in and wiped her tears and quieted all her childish fears. And then he led her back to the home once more. But as he entered his own darkened door, he knew that the Lord was not coming today, for the hours of Christmas had passed away. So he went to his room and knelt down to pray. And he said, 'Dear Lord, why did you delay? What kept you from coming to call on me? For I wanted so much your face to see.' When soft in the silence a voice was heard, 'Lift up your head, for I kept my word. Three times my shadow crossed your floor. Three times I came to your loving door. For I was a beggar with bruised cold feet, and I was a woman to whom you gave eat, and I was a child on a homeless street.'" See, life is filled with opportunities. Part of the wisdom of a new year is to know that these things beckon. We come to the Lord's table with thankful hearts for the opportunities we have to share in his love and his fellowship and his grace and his kindness. And you never know what's going to happen. If you turn to page 27, and we will begin here.